we're going to be done by 1:30 for sure. So kind of shifting gears here this morning, we're going to be spending a few, maybe 3 weeks or so, not really preaching from Jeremiah 29:11, but going to kind of preach about it a little bit, do some teaching around it. And this is something the Lord's been grinding on me for about a year, this scripture. And for those of you we'll read it together in just a moment, but Jeremiah 29:11 is probably, especially in the Western culture church, is probably one of the most quoted verses of scripture out there. Can I get amen? I mean, if anybody doesn't, if you go to church in America and you don't know what Jeremiah 29:11 says, you've been sleeping. Right? Because, man, do we quote that one all the time, don't we? Right? So let's all read it together. If you can quote it out loud, that's great. But let's read it out loud together, right? Jeremiah 29:11 says this. For what? I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. All right? A future and a hope. So what does the Lord want to give us? A future and a hope, right? We've been talking for many weeks now, 4, 5, 6 weeks. 7 weeks, maybe, whatever it is, about hope, right? And that hope is what we're missing in America. We're missing it in the church, right? We got folks going to church every single week, 2-3 times a week, and smile, put the church mask on. I'm doing great, brother, you know, and then leave, and they're crying before they hit their car in the parking lot, right? We got to fix it. Can I get amen? Right? One of the evidences of walking with Jesus, it should be this supernatural hope, right? Abounding in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul says. Is that right? So what I want to do for a couple of weeks here, guys, we're gonna kind of look at this. I'm going to preach and teach a little bit and just kind of see where we go with this one. Amen? So to start here, let's establish a couple of things. First of all, we need to believe. Everybody say believe. That this promise is accessible to us, right? There's some churches out there that say theologians, like guys that are real smart, that say that this promise is not accessible to us because it was an historical event that already happened, right? So if you look at the historical context of this particular passage, it's Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was alive during the Babylonian captivity, and so he's prophesying here to Israel, who is in Babylon, in captivity in Babylon, saying the Lord is going to deliver you, if you read this in context, which we will maybe next Sunday. But this is the context, right? He's talking about a deliverance from this Babylonian captivity, which did historically happen. Amen? And so there's some people out there, church folks out there, that will say that we cannot read this scripture and claim this promise from the Lord. Like the Lord doesn't have good plans for me, he only had good plans for them. How many people think that doesn't sound very good? Amen. My Bible says that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Not just New Testament ones, right? That means that I can find every single promise in the Bible and I can figure out, okay, so maybe it was an historic event, but I got to see the spiritual truth in that promise, and I say I can pull that spiritual truth through the cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and claim it in my life. Amen, church? Think about this, man. I'm already off my notes a little bit, but we're going to get there. Amen. There was two primary captivities in the Old Testament. There was the Egyptian captivity, right, where they were 430 years in Egypt. They were bound. But in that captivity, if you look at it at all, it was a real slavery. Amen, church? Like similar to slavery in America a couple hundred years ago, right? They were oppressed, physically oppressed. They were abused, physically abused. They were forced. It was forced labor. All these things. Amen. The Babylonian captivity was a captivity. It wasn't slavery. Okay. The Israelites were captured because of their sin. They were captured, taken to Babylon, but then they were allowed to live in Babylon. right? They were allowed to own homes. They were allowed to work. They were allowed to make money. They were allowed to buy BMWs. They were allowed to do whatever. They could go on vacation. They could do all kinds of stuff. Amen. But there was this. Oh, there was more of a spiritual. Like, you can do this, but you can't do this. Can I get amen, right? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they're in Babylon, right? And that's where he says, look, you can serve this God, but you can't pray. There's where Daniel, we know the story of Daniel, right? He's going to pray anyway, even though they said you can't pray. Can I get amen? So if you think about it, church, our spiritually, right, as we, before we know Jesus, we're really in more of a Babylonian captivity than an Egyptian one. The devil will let you work. He'll let you make money. He'll let you drive a nice car. He'll let you buy a nice house. He'll let you go on nice vacations. He'll let you do all kinds of stuff that makes it look like life is real good. Is that right? But there's certain things that he will not let you do. But he lets you do all kinds of things to make you think that you're free. That's pretty good preaching right there. That was for like two Sundays from now, so you guys got bonus, right? So a couple of things we got to establish. First of all, we need to believe this promise is accessible to us. I think we're all good there, right? Number two, we need to see here that the Lord's plans are good. And I think what we're going to talk about for the rest of the morning today is that we need to get our concept of good lined up with his concept of good. Because church, I'm telling you what, man, I read scriptures like this one. We're going to get into Romans in a minute, right? And I say, okay, God has these great plans for me. And then I look back at my life over the last 20 years and I'm like, all right, seems to me in my estimation, there's a lot more bad plans that have been working themselves out than good ones. Can I get amen from anybody? Right? I mean, now again, we can look at our lives and realize we can see blessings, we can see good things, but then we see all this other stuff and we're like, man, if God's so good, if God's got all these good plans and all these things, then why is all this stuff going on, right? Some of y'all have had some really awful things happen to you, amen? Painful, traumatic things, right? Some of us struggle with finances constantly, like no matter how much money we make, no matter how many cuts we make, no matter what we try to do, we're always strapped for money, right? Some of us have health issues. Some of us have all these issues, and we're saying, okay, God, where are all these great plans you got for me? Can I get amen? All right. So we got to dig into this a little bit. We got to figure out that what maybe, just maybe, y'all, that God's plans or the plans that he says are good are a little bit different than what I think the good plans ought to be. Because I'll be straight with y'all, if the plans were good in my estimation, I'd have a real big house, and I'd have a fleet of cars, all right? I'd have one for every day of the week, whatever mood I'm in, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I want one jacked up so I can monster truck everybody. Sometimes I want one low and fast, right? Need a motorcycle in there, right? Boat, right? You see what I'm saying, man? If it was up to me, my plans, I know where my plans would go, right? And sometimes we got to figure out that God's plans are not even close to ours. Amen. So if I believe this passage, if I believe this prophetic utterance from Jeremiah, here's what we're going to dig into for your week's church. What does it look like? Right, I can tell you one thing, that there have been plenty of things happen in my life that certainly didn't seem good at the time. And you know, honestly, they don't seem good yet, right? And we talked to some folks. I got some friends that we talk about stuff like this, and we see some of these ministries that are just humongous, and these preachers that are wealthy, and you know, name it, claim it, stuff, all this stuff, right? And some of my colleagues that I talk to, these guys are convinced that these preachers rolling in all this money got something figured out, and we're missing it. You know what? Every time I start thinking that way, do I get so chastised by the Holy Spirit? It is nuts. Amen. Church, I'm telling you what. Maybe we got something figured out that they don't. I was reading through Corinthians the other day. I've been reading through Corinthians, 2 Corinthians this week, and I come across this section where Paul is kind of talking about his credentials, right? And he's talking about how I'm qualified to be an apostle just like all these other guys. But he gives a list of things that qualify him as an apostle, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but this is what he says. He says, I'm an apostle too. I've been serving the Lord, and here's how you know. Because I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I spent a day and a night out at sea. I'm hungry. I'm homeless. I'm cold. I've been thrown in jail 4 times. I've been beaten 6 times. They stoned me to death. Paul says, I'm an apostle of Christ. Here's my business card. Here's my resume. Okay. My goodness gracious, I'm like, I guess I'm not one then, because I don't have any of that stuff on my resume, you know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it, church. We think in Western culture, church, if someone is serving God, they're going to drive a shiny car, have a huge house, everything's perfect. What a load of garbage. It is such a load of garbage. Amen? Because, again, we're so materialistic and so prosperity driven, right, that we think that must be God's blessings. I'm going to say something, just be bold about it, all right? Maybe it's the exact opposite of God's blessings. Maybe those people are completely deceived in serving the devil. That was a little strong, wasn't it? Maybe they are, maybe they're not, I don't know. But I'm just saying, you can't find one scripture in the Bible that says, if I'm serving God, I'm going to have money coming out of, just money falling out of my pockets. Amen. The New Testament, the Bible tells us, you know, there are going to be rich folks in the church. Clearly it tells us that, but there's going to be lots of poor people too. Right? Right? And if you look at the guys, the leaders of the church, like the real big leaders, none of those guys got any money. They're sacrificing themselves for the church. Right? I don't know. Amen. Romans 8:28, let's turn over here. We all know this one, too, but we're going to build something here by God's grace. And just hang in there as we grind it out. Everybody there? Romans 8:28, we all know this one. And we know, let's read it together, that God causes, what? All things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, right? Here we have another super familiar, overused, probably misused passage in the church today, but let's look at what Paul's saying. It's very close to Jeremiah's prophecy, amen, right? Jeremiah says, the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of goodness and not evil to give you future and hope, right? Paul's telling us the same thing. God's going to cause every single thing that's ever happened to you to work out for good. Right? It's a promise. Can I get amen, right? But there's a word in here that we've got to grab onto. It's in the Greek. I've studied this ad nausea. Amen. We have this word in there that God causes all things to work together for good for, everybody say those. Those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. Church, this promise is a qualified promise. It doesn't. You don't get this just because you're breathing, right? You don't get this just because you said yes to Jesus one time. You don't get this by going to church. You don't get this by throwing some cash in the basket. You don't get this by singing on the worship team, by going to prayer meetings. You don't get this promise by just doing church stuff, right? Because let's face it, man, we can do church stuff real good and then walk out the door and live like the devil. We talked about speaking in tongues in our membership class yesterday, and I love it. I think it was Pastor Jim Kakuza's first time I ever heard somebody say it. We were talking about speaking in tongues, and Pastor Jim says, I see lots of Christians speak in tongues on Sunday, live like the devil on Monday. Right? I mean, once you're speaking in tongues, you can just do it. You don't need the Holy Ghost really get on you for it. Is that right? Come on, man. Just because somebody's speaking in tongues don't mean they're right with God. Right? Speaking in tongues should make me right with God if I keep doing it, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit strengthening me and cleaning me out, digging me out. Amen. Amen. Right? But look at this, church. We need to see that Paul says here that God will work things out for a group of people, right? And notice that he doesn't say that God's going to do this for the people that he loves. Because if God worked all things together for good for those that he loves, then he'd be working everything together for everybody because he loves everybody, right? He loves the saint and the sinner. He loves the drug addict. He loves the alcoholic. He loves the child abuser. He loves the murderer. He loves the bank robber. He loves the liar. He loves everybody, man. Jesus hung on a cross not for good folks, but for all folks, right? So if the qualifier for this promise is that God loves us, then everybody gets it. But the qualifier is for those who love God. And we know that Jesus says this, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. Now, Jesus says right there, John 15 as well, like four verses down, here's my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Right? He's not talking about the old covenant, the all those laws. Can I get amen, church? But what he is saying is that it's not only about loving our neighbor as he loved us, which is pretty much impossible without Jesus. Can I get amen? He's also saying, when I tell you to do something, I expect you to do it. We had coffee with another friend the other day. We were chatting about that. Amen. When the Holy Spirit says, stop looking at that, it's not up for discussion. Or when he says, you better do that, you better do it right now. He wants obedience. Can I get amen, church? Right? So how do we love God? I mean, I remember years ago, the Lord, you guys all know that book, The Five Love Languages, right? Remember that one? I've said this before, but I never read it. But the Holy Spirit said to me about 3 years ago, he says, son, you want to know what my love language is? How I feel loved by you when you do what I said. Right? God's love language isn't singing songs to him. He likes that. It's all right. It's not praying. That's fine. He likes that. It's not reading our Bibles. It's fine. He likes that. God feels loved by us, by his people, when we do the right thing. Right? When we call out sin is sin. When we say that's wrong and this is right. When we are responding to the Spirit of God, that is what God is looking for. Is that right? Right? It's awesome, church, to feel the Lord's presence and worship and cry. Man, I've cried so many times in church, I can't even count. Amen? But God's saying, okay, good. Now go out, take that, and go out there and do something with it. Right? Number two, here's where we get back to the Jeremiah link, amen, is that those who are called according to his purpose. Right, his purpose. Everybody say his purpose. His purpose. In other words, God is working all things together for good, not for those who are trying to make God do what they want him to do, but for those who have decided that God can do whatever he wants. Right? We finished with that song, have your way. Lord, have your way. And I think here's where we struggle with it, man, because it's like, okay, so what does that look like every day, right? Like, okay, I come to church, I kind of know what I'm supposed to do at church, but then I leave church and I do whatever I do, right? Whatever I do to make money, whatever I do to, you know, I got kids or no kids, or I'm married or I'm single or I'm young or I'm old or I got empty nest or I got whatever, right? We got all just life. And so we're like, okay, so Lord, have your way. Like, what do I do? What does that look like on a daily basis, hour by hour, right? Morning, noon, dinner, you know, dinner time. What do I gotta, like, am I just supposed to sit on my knees with my hands folded and home? Like, I mean, what is it? This the Lord's will, right? That his purpose on earth. I'm going to say something that probably, I think all of you will be fine. Maybe folks watching on Facebook might not like it. I don't know. Hope you do. But God's purpose, church, we got to get this, man. Because if God's purpose was your career, then that would work everywhere. You'd be able to go to some little village in Africa somewhere and preach that, and it would work. The gospel works everywhere. So if it doesn't work everywhere, it's not the gospel. It doesn't matter how good it sounds or how good it works. I'm convinced that we've got something. We've mixed so much stuff into the church and the Western culture that we're calling things that are happening in the church in America God, when it's got nothing to do with God. It's because of our culture. We live in a prosperous culture. So if you get folks that catch on giving, you got a church with 1,000 folks in it. You don't need a whole lot of people giving what they should be given to start getting a lot of money committed to that church. You understand what I'm saying? Right? We call stuff like if it was supernaturally God, then it would be different than what the sinners can get. Can I get amen, church? If God is the one doing it, then there's no way it should be able to be copied in the world. You understand what I'm saying? So to have a church or a ministry got lots of money or whatever it is, and then have a bunch of sinners got lots of money, you're like, okay, well, how are they getting money and the church getting money too? Can I get amen? If it's all about money, here's my point. I don't know why I'm on money today. If it's all about money, then go to Africa, go to China, go to these different churches, and if that works, it will work everywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? All right. I'll move on. No more money talk today, maybe. Let's read Romans 8 in some context, amen? We read 8:28. Let's back up a couple of verses. We'll read a couple of verses past it. Y'all there? Still? In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know, listen to what he says, we do not know how to pray. Well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'm an intercessor. I'm a prayer leader. Okay, fine. Paul says we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he searches the hearts. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, there's the connector, right? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, everybody say for. So we're still on the same thought process, right? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Let's look at verse 29 just for a minute. He says, for those, right? For those. Seems like the same group of those is as in verse 28. Right? He's still talking about, he's not talking about everyone's predestined, everyone's pre-called. Can I get amen on that, right? According to Paul, God in his sovereignty is saying, there are people, when they come on earth, I've got a call on them right out of the womb. Not everybody. Not talking about getting saved. Because God wants all men to be saved. Is that right? It's not about salvation. It's about a call into God's purposes. Some folks, the moment they come out the womb, there's a destiny on their life to serve the Lord. Do you understand? Do you see it? This is the doctrine of predestination, which we don't really get into a lot in our church. I don't buy into it. Amen. Right? That if we can buy into that God has certain people, as soon as they come out the womb, there's a call, they still got to choose the Lord. Right? God's not going to make them do it. Right? I can walk out of this church today and never come back. God's not going to make me come back. Right? I could decide I'm going to do whatever. I could do whatever I want. Now, maybe the Lord might hedge me in a couple times, but if he says, you're going to be that much of a knucklehead, have fun. Right? We got free will. I can do whatever I want. Amen? But if we see this, what it is, if you guys remember last Sunday, I talked about that Isaiah 55, right? Well, my word will not go forth, will not return to me void without accomplishing what I desire, right? But then you have Jesus teaching that seed can go forth into someone's heart and not accomplish anything. So you're like, well, which one is it? Does the seed go forth and not return to him void, or does it go into hearts and accomplish nothing? Well, I think what I was trying to say, and maybe I didn't say it great last week, is this, that there has to be an agreement on our end with the seed that comes in, right? I've got to position myself and say, okay, let this seed do its work. Work out in my heart. Do whatever you want, Lord. I'm an open vessel. Do work in me. Make me whatever you want to make me. It doesn't matter. I don't care what I do to make money. I want to be like Jesus, which is really what Paul's saying here, church. The predestination is not you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a teacher, you're a stay-at-home mom, you're this and that. The predestination is to be like Jesus. So what does it look like, Pastor, every day? What is this to be called according to God's purpose? This is what God's purpose is, to be like Jesus as a doctor, to be a lawyer who's like Jesus, to be a school bus driver who's like Jesus. Can I get an amen, church? Think about this. The devil is not scared about you becoming a doctor. He might even help you do it. Ooh. The devil is not scared about you making lots of money. The devil's not scared about you becoming, he ain't even scared about you becoming a pastor or a prophet or anything else. He's scared about you becoming like Jesus and then doing that stuff. Can I get amen? Because if we're like Jesus, he can't do nothing. Is that good? See, I think there's a scripture in I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15 or 2 Corinthians 15, and it says this, Paul says this, if we hope in the Lord for this life only, we should be pitied more than any man. Think about that. Most Christians, just think about your own heart right now. If you think, I'm hoping for something, I'd guess that probably every single one of us, the first couple of things that pop into our head is something here and now. Right? It could be good things, right? I hope that my family gets healed up. Or I hope my kids get straightened out. I hope that whatever. You understand what I'm saying, church? But the Bible, the hope that should be welling up inside of us is the hope that when I'm done on earth, I go that way. Right? The hope that should be strengthening my heart is not that my kids come back. We should hope that. Not that this financial situation is, we should hope for that, right? The hope that should be stirring in my heart, the hope that makes me strong, the hope that gets me to sleep at night and gets me up in the morning, this is, man, when I'm done on earth, I'm not going to hell forever. I'm going up with the Lord, man. I'm saved. The Lord has purchased me. Amen. I am blood bought, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. Can I get an amen, church? If we went to another country where they don't have all the stuff we have, that's what they hope in, man. The preacher could preach that every single week, and they're jumping off their chairs, hanging off the lights, man. They're so excited about that. We talk about that in America, and we're like, okay, can we talk about the cool stuff? We're backwards. Can I get amen? Right? See, when I realize that God's number one plan for my life is to be like Jesus, then some stuff will start working out for good. Right? There's the qualifier in Romans 8. Love God, called according to what's his purpose? We just read it. I've predestined you to become conformed to the image of my son. Doesn't matter how you make money, doesn't matter what you do, kids, no kids, single, married, doesn't, none of that stuff matters, right? The predestination of God is to be like Jesus. When we buy into that, Lord, whatever you got to do to make me like Jesus, do it. Strip stuff away, dig it up, turn it over, throw some stuff away, pluck it up, plant, build, whatever's got to happen to make me like Jesus. Think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, see like Jesus, react like Jesus, right? I go to bed, I'm thinking like Jesus. I get up, I'm thinking like Jesus. I go to work, I'm thinking like Jesus. They got cussed me off in traffic, I'm still thinking like Jesus. I spill coffee because he cussed me off in traffic, I'm still thinking like Jesus. Right? Man, that is what God's looking for, church. Can I get amen? And you know what? If we'll agree to that, literally the heavens will open up. Right? But But if we think about it, really, if we think about as Americans, what we really want is God to like do some stuff over here that makes our life easier, right? And like, cool, I'll throw some cash in the basket, no problem, right? And I'll come to church and I'll do this and I'll do that, fine, no worries. But don't really make me sacrifice anything, right? Don't really get on me about how I'm living. Amen. God's priority, his first priority, is not to bless me, just to change me. Church, there's the battleground. I guarantee you right there. And we go through it. I've gone through it multiple times, man. Like, I just got done with a big change, and I'm like, I'm feeling good. And he goes, all right, step two. What? Come on, man. I don't even get one day to like bask in this massive change that just occurred in my life. Like, can't we like have a party or something? I mean, can I at least get a hug? Yeah, come on, man. I mean, it took me 6 years to stop cussing. And now you're going to, I mean, whatever. Can I get an amen, church, right? And he's like, yeah, it took you 6 years because you're too stubborn. Okay, we could have taken that care of that in 5 minutes if you just stopped fighting, right? Man, do you realize, you know what, we're going to, it takes us long to change because we're stubborn. That's all. If we would just die, we talked about that yesterday in our membership meetings, right? I remember I preached one time here years ago about dying for the Lord, right? He says, dead men don't sin. And what the Lord had showed me was like an old Western, you know, where these guys get shot like 26 times, and they're still alive. And they just stumble around and tell Bessie that I love her. Don't forget my dog. And the Lord's like, will you just die, man? Come on. Seriously. Wait a second. I got one more. Just die, man. Right? Dead men don't sin. So that means if I'm sinning, I ain't dead. You know what God wants to do? He wants to kill you. See you next Sunday. Y'all are like, man, we're not coming back here ever again. Church, listen, man, when I decide in my heart that I need to change, when I surrender to that plan and become, see, that's how we become who God wants us to be. Not just do what he wants us to do. We got lots of people doing great things, man. We could, you know, the hardest people to convince that they're wrong are people that are doing great things. Well, Pastor, I don't need Jesus, man. I help folks out at the soup kitchen. Okay, cool, man. You still need Jesus, though, right? I mean, you know, can I get an answer? Whatever, you know, I'm a good husband. Okay, fine, you still need Jesus. I'm a good this, I'm a good that. Those are the hardest folks by a long shot, man, right? And so, but this is the thing. I can do great things, great godly things, and without Jesus, I am as evil as they come, black as, heart as black as night right in here, right? That's what we got to shift. Can I get amen? Let's get back to Jeremiah, and we'll see how long we go here. For I know the plans, we'll read it again. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. A future and a hope. Let's read this in context here. I got to pull it up on my Bible software. I'm not checking my emails. Hang on. Jeremiah, let's read this in context because I want to give you guys a little context here in closing. And we're going to see something that's very, very similar to Romans. Amen. Verse 10. Let's back up one verse and then we'll read a few passages. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then, everybody say then. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Isn't that interesting? Then I will listen to you. He says, this 70 years is going to go by. I'm not listening. Yikes. It give you a little nugget of what we're going to look at in a couple weeks. If you back up into chapter 28, there's a false prophet. And the false prophet says, we're only going to be in Babylon for 2 years. And everybody rejoices. They say, wow, that's great. Praise God. But then the Lord speaks to Jeremiah, and the Lord says, he's a false prophet. You're going to be here for 70 years. So there's nothing you can do about it. Ooh. It is, I've been grinding on this church. You know what I think is going on here? The Lord says sometimes you're going to find yourself in a situation where you can pray till you're blue in the face and you're just going to be in it. Amen. Sometimes we get ourselves in a situation that we say, Lord, deliver me. And he says, nope, I'm going to let you bake in that one for a little bit so you learn not to do it again. Man, I got into debt a long time ago. For us, it was a lot of debt. And I have prayed so many times, Lord, just I need a check for like $25,000 and I'll be good to go. He says, no, you won't, because you'll be right back in $25,000 of debt in about 3 weeks. He says, I'm going to let you grind that one out, and we're going to really make sure that thing is rooted out of your soul. We're going to let you sweat that one out. We're going to let you grind on it, making minimum payments till Jesus comes back. Because sometimes, church, there's something broken in us, and we just give me the quick fix, God. He says, no, I want to really fix you. Right? So this is what he's saying in here, right? If you go back and read it, we're gonna dig all around here for a couple of weeks. Amen. I think it's gonna be real good. But this is what he says, right? Then after this 70 years, then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with half your heart. When you search for me on Sunday morning. Hey. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Ouch. So this is how my brain works. I look at scriptures like that and I flip them upside down and I go, okay, so if I only give God half of my heart, what am I going to get? Thank you very much. Nothing. That was a very, I even hit that note. That was pretty good, right? Now, church, look, I'm not trying to say God is some kind of dictator here. Please understand what I'm talking about, man. God is so, he loves us so much. We heard it this morning, right? He loves us so much. God is so kind. He's so gracious. We opened up with that song over and over, man, right? Your mercies are new every day. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, are you sure, Lord? Because that was real bad yesterday. I might have used them all up yesterday. I don't know. Can I get amen, church? God, like, we cannot wrap our heads around the goodness of God, man. It is impossible, right? The depths of God are beyond searching out, the Bible says, man. But God is saying, look, you can get saved and go to heaven someday. That's not real hard. Okay, but if you want some heaven coming down here, you got to line yourself up a little better. You got to live a certain way. You can't just think how you want to think. You can't just be like, okay, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to go get a job, make lots of money, and do whatever I want and think that you're going to carry heaven on earth. It doesn't work that way. He says, if you want to see what I have for you, you want to experience down there what you can experience, you have to line up. Is that right? This is what he's saying. Amen, church. I don't know how else to read it. Hang on. My phone went to bed. Facebook. If Come on, Face ID isn't working. I must be, I have a mad face on or something. One more verse. We're almost done. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. Look at who drove them away, the devil or the Lord? Aye, that hurts too, doesn't it? Declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Wow. The qualification, church, is what? Seek the Lord with all my heart. Boy, I got quiet real fast. Like, ouch. Amen. And I think what we got to look at for a few weeks here is, what does that look like? There's the tough one. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know, right? I mean, is there a certain number of hours we should pray every day? I don't think so. Is there, should we read our Bibles a certain amount of time? No, probably not. We should read our Bibles, but you see what I'm saying? Is there, what, how do we do this thing, man, right? What does it look like to all my heart, right? And, you know, I can honestly say I've had seasons where I felt like I was kind of at least heading that direction, right? Like I just felt, wow, I feel so sensitive to the Lord right now, right? I just feel like so tuned in with his voice, right? But you know, church, if the devil knows this promise, what do you think he's going to try to do with our heart? Pull it away from the Lord. He's going to distract us with things that look good. They look good over here. Look at this over here. What does Isaiah say? You'll hear a voice from you saying, look left, look right. But then this other voice that says, no, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look, this is the way, says the Lord. Walk ye in it, right? It's like, you know, I said a couple weeks ago, that movie Up, right? Squirrel. You know, I mean, we're so easily distracted in our culture, man. We're every single thing. You know, we see stuff. I stopped watching. We don't have cable anymore. I'm so glad because of all the stinking commercials on television, man. It don't matter what you just bought. You could have just bought something, and you see a commercial 10 minutes later. You're like, man, I got to get a new one. Dude. It is non-stop. You could have just got back from vacation. You're home for 2 hours, flip the TV on, and there's another vacation on a commercial. Oh, man, need that one now. Right? It is non-stop, man. And church, it's Facebook does it. I mean, you have Facebook Marketplace. I stop looking at that because every time I get in there, it's like, oh, look at that car. Look at that car. Squirrel, 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 squirrel. Man, yeah, dude, it's nonstop, man. It's crazy. I mean, I was in my backyard today. I was moping. I'm almost done, man. I was pouting and I was in a bad mood with the Lord. And I'm just saying, Lord, and I look over through the bushes and there's my jet ski on the trailer. And he's like, you're such a baby. Dude, come on, man. I got 3 cars in the driveway. I have a real nice house I live in. There's a jet ski. My parents have a lake house with a boat. I mean, they got a place in Florida I can go to. We go on timeshare vacations. He's like, you are such a baby. Wake up, man. It's crazy, right? And look, church, I said last Sunday, I think, look, I am so grateful I live in America. But it's like God's calling the church, come out from among them and be ye separate. Right? Look, God's fine with us enjoying our culture. I'm glad. Like, come on, we can't go to Chick-fil-A. I was almost said we're going to go to Chick-fil-A today. Can't do that. But you know what I'm saying? We can go have a nice meal after church, all this stuff. But it's like, man, where is my heart? Is my heart, oh, I can't wait to get lunch. Right? Is my heart like, you know, and it's like, okay, there's a little spot right here where I squeeze God in once a week. Or is my heart just consumed with the things of God? And I do what I do around me, right? There's the difference. And I think that's what we got to examine. Is everybody all right with this? like, let's take a few weeks and dig this thing out and look at it and say, man, I want this promise from God to work. But like, if my plans are different than his plans, then I'm waiting for God to do this, but he's trying to do this. And I'm getting mad and bent out of shape about it and cranky and skipping church and whatever, wherever my thing is, man. But it's like, if I really sit in this case, Lord, what is your plan for me? Clean slate, blank piece of paper. Lord, just start writing and I'm in. Right? You'd be amazed what God will tell you. I think sometimes, I'll say this in closing right here. I think sometimes we're scared because we think, man, what if God tells me to, you know, like sell my house? Or, you know, like something like, you know. Church, I'm going to tell you what. There's a few guys in the Bible where God seems to just drop just an atom bomb on these guys, right? They're just minding their business, and God just shows up like, boom, like, you know, Abraham. Abraham's enjoying life, and God's like, hey, leave your entire family and just go that way. For how long? And he's like, till I say stop. Right? And I think that's what we think. Like, if we just ask, okay, God, here's my heart. What do you want me to do? We think that that's what God's going to say, right? Like, just out of nowhere, But church, I don't think he's really going to do that. Or he may do that and then say, okay, now come on. Look, I know where you're at, but come on, this is what I've got for you. Come on. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to bail on you. Come on. Amen, church? The first time Pastor Al said, I think you're supposed to pastor River Valley Christian Center, I was like, you are off your rocker, bro. I didn't say that to his face. Church, it was like, what on earth? Never would have thought about doing that. But I said, okay, Lord. I think I'm doing all right. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. So, Father, we just want to come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for just a powerful, sweet time of worship. Lord, I pray that, just pray this morning that we would stop thinking about it like a time of worship, like, okay, it's over. And then, right? I remember, Lord, years ago, you told me, stop visiting me on Sundays. I was like, what does that even mean? I don't even know. Because I thought I was doing so good. But it's this thing where it's like, Lord, it's like we think, okay, we leave church and we know it in our heads that we're not leaving you, but our hearts are like, okay, time to do life. But Father, I pray that today, and I know there was a shift in worship, but that we grab onto that here in our hearts. And say, you know what? No matter what I do for lunch today, no matter what I got to do later on today or go to work tomorrow, or whatever I got to do, that my heart is hidden in Jesus. That I'm going to go to work tomorrow morning like it's the first time. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm not here just to make a paycheck. This is my ministry field right here. This is my mission field. I'm here not just to provide for my family, but I'm here to make a difference in this place. This is where you've assigned me, Lord. Help me shine my light here. And Lord, finally, I really think that Jeremiah, talking about these plans that you have for us, and Paul in Romans talking about working all things together for good, this predestination, I think Jeremiah and Paul are talking about the same thing. That the plan is not my temporal success, but my eternal success. Being like Jesus. Because if I'm like Jesus, if that's my goal, everything else will line up perfectly fine. So Lord, help us to shift that. To see that giving us a job, giving us a promotion, giving us money, giving us, all, you could do that stuff so easily. It's our hearts that you wrestle with, God. So Lord, we just come. We're asking for your grace to have soft hearts before you this week, like we haven't in a long time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll see you on Wednesday for prayer, if you can make it out. And Thursday night for the ladies. Next Sunday is our fellowship lunch after church. Amen. God bless you guys.